Welcome to the audio version of our service for Sunday the 8th of November. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and so we begin our service with an act of remembrance. And we pray that wherever you're listening to this service today, that you will know God's blessing as we remember and as we return thanks to God for his blessing upon us. Welcome to Burnside at Home, and thank you so much for joining with us today once again as we worship God. I know from many of you that there are different reasons as to why you're worshiping with us online. For some of you, it's still too soon to come out and join in a crowd. For others of you, you just live at a distance, and maybe you come to us in the summertime, or maybe you've just discovered us during these lockdown restrictions and you enjoy worshiping with us. Whatever the reason, I'm delighted that you're able to join with us through our online service. And it's always lovely to get little messages from many of you, just saying that you're listening, that you're watching, and what has been speaking to you from God's word. If you don't receive an email from Burnside Church and you would like to receive one each week, just bringing you up to date with what's happening and reminding you about our online service, then please just send an email to burnsidechurch@gmail.com. That's burnsidechurch@gmail.com, and I will add you to the distribution list and will send you an email each week. Please also remember that you can listen in to our Bible studies each day. They're published Monday to Friday on our church website, www.burnsidepci.co.uk. Just click on the latest blog box there and you'll be able to listen to that Bible study. And each week we develop what we've been looking at on a Sunday. Maybe you're listening to our service today. We have a phone line that you can phone in and listen to the audio of our service. And if you do that at the weekends, the service is available from Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Then on Wednesday of each week, we put the audio of those Bible studies onto the phone line. So if you phone back on a Wednesday, usually by a Wednesday evening, then you can listen in to the Bible studies and keep up to date with what's happening that way. And as I say, we just develop a theme from Sunday, look at some of the passages in a bit more detail, maybe look at a few other passages that relate to what we've been thinking about. And this week we're looking at Revelation chapter 21. And although we look at that passage, verses 1 to 8, in our service today, during the week we're going to take each verse in a little bit more detail and look in more depth at what God is saying to us from that passage. So we do pray that we together will know God's blessing as we worship him today. Today is our act of remembrance, and so we're going to begin the service with that act of remembrance. And then throughout the service, we're going to turn to the Psalms, and we're going to read a number of Psalms, and those Psalms are also going to direct our prayers as well. Then later on, Eddie Coyles is going to read from Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to meditate upon that passage for a little while as well. So let's begin with a word of prayer, asking God's blessing upon our service today, and then we will go to our act of remembrance. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, guide us now today, we pray. As we remember, Lord, under these different circumstances, we pray that you would be glorified and that our thoughts would turn to you in thanksgiving and in praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we gather together in worship to return to God grateful thanks for his mercy to our land. We recognise that for many, the cost has been and continues to be great in sacrifice and in suffering. Our thoughts and our prayers go out to those who have been bereaved and also to others who still suffer as a result of service to our nation. But as we reflect together today, we also want to look forward. We look forward in hope. And hope is a deeply Christian experience. It springs above all from our belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if Christ is raised from the dead, nothing good is impossible. The Bible, of course, looks forward to a time when our hope for peace will be fulfilled. It speaks of the old order of things going away and God making all things new. And it calls upon Christians to live today in the light of their hope for tomorrow. So, in gratitude for the past and in hope for the future, we worship God today. After Bunyan's ode, we observe our commemorative silence. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. The National Anthem.
Thank you. Let us all bow together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, we give you thanks today for your hand upon our nation, for the heritage that we have, and for the freedom secured for us. We thank you for the knowledge that we have of you and your word. Today we remember. We remember all who have served and sacrificed to maintain our freedom. Those who remember firsthand and have loved lost ones and friends. Those who mourn, comfort their hearts, we pray, Lord. We remember those shattered in mind or body. Be near to all such and grant them peace in their hearts. We remember those who are now old and frail. Grant that we and our government may treat them worthily. We remember those still serving throughout the world in Army, Air Force and Navy. Keep them true to their duty, guided by integrity and motivated by God's love for the defenseless, the poor and the needy. We remember all who serve and have served in the police service of Northern Ireland, the fire service, ambulance service and prison service. Watch over them and keep them in safety, guiding them each day in all they do. Be with their families who watch and wait for them. Comfort and sustain them each day. Guide each chaplain today as they reach out to many needy people. May they minister with clarity and conviction. Be near civilians today who are broken as a result of terrorism. Deliver them, we pray, from the anger that burns and the revenge that blights. We pray for our leaders, for those in public life in this province. Enable them to speak with care and listen with understanding. May they fulfill their responsibilities with dignity and with a concern for all of your creation. We pray for the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister. We pray for the MLAs and local councillors. We pray for the Executive Committee of our Assembly. We pray for the Prime Minister, and we pray for MPs today. May they each one turn to you for guidance in all that they do. In the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, we remember also today those who have lost their lives. Many have been the most vulnerable in society, and we pray for families who have been devastated and for individuals who are struggling to recover. We remember all those who have sacrificed so much over the last 8 months to continue providing health care and essential services. Lord, protect them day by day and be with those families who worry at home. We pray for those who are at risk from this virus and pray that you would enable them to integrate into society again. We pray today for your church here on earth. Save her from being squeezed into the mold of earth's thinking. Enable her to speak with prophetic voice. Lord, all these things we bring before your sovereign power. In Christ's name. Amen. As we worship God today, we're going to turn at various points in our worship to the Psalms. And the psalmist, as always, is able to put into words better than we can what it means to trust God in times of national uncertainty. So throughout our service, we're going to look at the Psalms, and we're going to begin with our call to worship this morning from Psalm 46. God is our strength and our refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Our first item of praise today is, O God, our help in ages past. Again, turning to the Psalms, I want to read from Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Let's bring to God our prayers of confession. And as we do so, I want to use the words of Psalm 130. So let us pray together. Out of the depths we cry to you, O Lord, and we ask that you would hear our voices. May your ears be attentive to our cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for you, O Lord, my soul waits, and in your word I put my hope. My soul waits for you, O Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Lord, we put our hope in you, for with you is unfailing love, and with you is full redemption. You yourself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Amen. And then turning to Psalm 145. This psalm reminds us of God's goodness to us throughout all the generations. And so today, as we remember God's goodness to us, we join in the words of the psalmist. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Now let us bring our prayers for others today. God of new beginnings, we pray for places where conflict has lasted too long, where peacemaking has failed in the face of human pride, greed, and fear. May the old order pass away and a new world come to be in which the fear of violence is history. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. God of healing, we pray for the brokenhearted, those who are scarred by the things they have done or the things that have been done to them. We long for an end to mourning, crying, and pain. With every tear shall be wiped away. And may we, your people, learn to be comforters of the comfortless. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. God of peace, we pray for peacemakers, for those who refuse to accept that violence is necessary, whose work is hardly noticed and who win no medals. We thank you for the vision of a world where swords are beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, and no one harms or destroys anyone. Teach us to love peace, we pray. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. Lord God, we come to you, the one who says, I am making everything new. We pray that you will renew us. Give us hope in your future when the world is dark. Give us confidence in your truth when we're tempted to doubt. Give us joy in your presence when we feel that we are alone. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen. Our Bible reading today echoes those words that we have just been praying. It's taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8, and is going to be read to us by Eddie Coyles.
The reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Amen.
Throughout our service today, we have been remembering God's mercy to us as a nation. And at a time like this, it does us good to pause and consider what God wants us to learn about the future as we look back and we remember. Many of us haven't lived through a national crisis like a war, but perhaps this year, as we have lived through the pandemic and heard reports of death and witnessed perhaps firsthand, then perhaps we have a little more insight than we have had in the past about the uncertainty of war. So we come to God searching for hope today, and we come to his word, and we come to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, that Eddie has just read for us. And the book of Revelation is an extraordinary portrayal of the spiritual realities that are underlying our world. Now, at its heart is the understanding that the world is a spiritual battleground. And so there are wars taking place on a daily basis between good and evil. And whenever we come to Revelation 21, we're nearing the end of the book. We're nearing the climax of all these wars. And we're finding out what is going to happen after this world passes away. And we have a wonderful message of hope in Revelation 21. A message of hope that enables us to look to the future and not despair about what's happening, but to understand what's happening. And so we come to God's word today, and we look to him for help, and we look to him for hope. In the book of Revelation, the power that stands against God's people and his reign is often referred to as Babylon. It's depicted as a nation, as a country, as a place that comes and invades God's land and takes God's people away. But there have been lots of Babylon since then, and many nations and ideas that have tried to bind God's people and try to take them away from God. So today we're going to look at Revelation 21, and we're going to find hope together. And we're going to discover there that Babylon will fall. And so as we reflect on world wars, let's see what these verses might say to us today. Now, there are 8 verses in the passage that Eddie read to us from Revelation 21. Now, 7 of those verses are filled with hope. But we cannot ignore where we are heading to in verse 8 of this passage. And there is a warning that is given at the end of chapter 21. And the message of the Bible is not everyone living happily ever after. Not everyone will experience the joy at the end of time. Not everyone has this hope that we have today as we follow Jesus Christ. And so we have this stark warning in verse 8 that we are leading up to. And so with every verse of positive hope, it hangs in the shadow of the warning that if we don't embrace Jesus, if we don't beg him for forgiveness, then verse 8 will be the reality rather than the seven verses leading up to. The media tells us that there is no need for God. And then whenever someone dies, all of a sudden there's a need for heaven to bring comfort to us. For example, this past week we had the sad news that Sean Connery had died. And the headline in one newspaper was "Double O Heaven." Because we can't cope with the thought that this world ends and then there's nothing more to follow. There has to be something good to follow. But the thought that there's something bad to follow is beyond our comprehension. Now, I have no idea of Sean Connery's spiritual condition, but neither do the newspapers, but they just simply assume heaven. But Revelation doesn't assume heaven. The hope of heaven is presented, but the terrible, terrible alternative is also clearly stated. And in verse 8, we read the following: the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, if we look at that verse clearly, we might be able to get out a pen and tick off the things that we agree with. Well, certainly, let's put the murderers and the sexually immoral into the abyss, the lake of burning sulfur. But the cowardly and the unbelieving, the liars, are we going to put them in as well? Well, yes, that is what God is warning us. So the warning is there. And we need to realize that amidst all the hope that we talk about today, that there is also a warning for us. But let's look at the other verses in this passage as well. We fear coronavirus. We take all the precautions that we can, but there is something much, much worse that we need to avoid, that we need to make sure we've prepared for this second death that John talks about here in this book of Revelation. But thankfully, with the second death, we don't put on a mask and keep our distance and hope that we will avoid it. We have a perfect, feel-safe way to avoid this second death. We come to Jesus Christ and we beg Jesus for forgiveness. We don't just come to Jesus and we acknowledge, oh yes, Jesus, you're there, good teaching, thanks for the help in life. We come on our knees and we beg him to forgive us, to take away our sin. And whenever we trust in Jesus, then this incredible vision of the Apostle John becomes reality for us. What we read in Revelation 21 becomes reality as we see the hope that God offers us. So let's see these promises that God gives us about our future. And the first one is, in verse 1, everything will be made new. Look at what it says there. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Sin will be destroyed. God will start off new again. As we look around this world, we see the effects of sin. We see the destruction and the decay. We look back and we see the wars that have taken place and the wars that continue to take place. We see a virus that is rampant and is difficult to get under control. But John tells us in his vision, I see a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. And this is something that we need to be clear about here. That this earth as we see it, will pass away, but it will be recreated. And we will come to dwell here with Jesus Christ for all eternity. We will be in God's presence. Well, we often have this picture of going off to heaven and sitting on a cloud and playing a harp, but that's not what the Bible tells us. Now, of course, there's this issue that if we die before Jesus returns and we go to be with Jesus, he told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But when Jesus returns, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth created, a place for us to live here with God and enjoy earth as it was first intended before sin came. So if you're despairing today at all that you see around you and you're worried about this virus, everything will be made new. The second thing that we see from verse 1 is that there will no longer be any separation. That we will come together with God rather than being separated from him. Look at what it says at the end of that verse. And there was no longer any sea. Now, this is a difficult verse, I think, for us who live close to the sea. Because if you live in Port Stewart or you visit Port Stewart, one of the most wonderful things about it is the sea. You look at the sea. It's a rare day that I don't walk past the sea and look at it and be amazed at the waves and enjoy the sea's presence. So why is John telling us no longer any sea? Well, sea for the Israelites was the depiction of evil. Evil comes out of the sea. The sea is also something that separates. It's difficult to cross the sea. There's always danger in crossing. So other lands are separated by sea. And so in saying that there's no longer any sea means that the separation and this evil, the beast, comes out of the sea. And if there's no longer any sea, then there is no longer any hidden evil coming out. So will there be seas on the new earth? I would imagine there will be, but there'll be no more separation. There'll be no more destruction in these ways. And so, therefore, we trust in this hope, no longer any separation. Then if we move on to verse 2, there's no longer persecution. John says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." In this earth, the church is persecuted. The people of faith are persecuted because of their faith in Jesus. But as John looks, he sees this glorious vision and he says, this is no longer going to happen. This is the consummation. We often stop in our theology. We think of the fall, whenever sin entered the earth. We think of our salvation coming in Jesus Christ, but we forget that there is also this consummation, this glory coming in the last days. And this is why we can't be a Christian on our own. We need one another. We need fellowship because we need community, because all of this is coming together. We together are the bride of Christ. There's going to be this great wedding feast of the Lamb. And just as a little aside today, this is why marriage is so important to us as Christians. Because it is how God chooses to explain our relationship with Jesus. He explains it in terms of marriage. And that is why Satan is so intent on attacking marriage. He longs to destroy family units and rip husbands and wives apart. And now he is trying to change marriage completely and to totally redefine it, all in an attempt to confuse us in our relationship with Jesus. But John sees this glorious vision and sees that the church will become the bride of Christ. And we have this wonderful hope that is happening. Let's jump into verse 3. And here we have the wonderful hope that God is with us. We thought about it this time last year as we approached Christmas. We thought about it a few weeks ago at our Girls Brigade service. And here John is saying, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. God with us. Now the dwelling of God is with man. This is Emmanuel, God with us. Not just as a tiny baby born in December, but as a fully grown man who has suffered and died and risen again and ascended to his Father's side and now returns in glory. The message of Christmas, but at the end of time, heaven is wherever God is. Heaven will be here on earth in this new heaven and this new earth. And we come to glory God in this wonderful news. Then in verse 4, we've got this wonderful promise that all things are made new. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Can you imagine a world like this? When we look around our world today and we see death and destruction and crying and pain and people suffering and unable to cope, all those things will be made new. All those horrible things will be taken away. And we will have this wonderful time with God. If perhaps we miss the sea that won't be there, we won't miss these things, because these are the things that hurt us in life. And then in verse 5, we're told it will definitely happen. It's all right having all this poetic language about all these new things and a heavenly city and a bride coming and a new heaven and a new earth. It all sounds too good to be true, but it will happen. Look at verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God tells John, write it down. This is important. You don't want to miss this, John. People need to hear this for years to come. Write it down. I am making everything new. We can trust God, and he is saying that he is the one who's doing it. His words are trustworthy. Make sure you write it down. Make sure people hear about it. Make sure that we tell others there is hope. We don't just have a fairy tale that we're trusting in, fingers crossed that something good will happen someday. No, we have a sure and certain hope that it will definitely happen. And then in verse 6, it will definitely happen because the job is done. It is already sorted. It is already complete. Jesus declared on the cross, it is finished. In verse 6 we read, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. It is finished, Jesus said. We've been living in this strange position. Jesus has done the job, but Satan is still roaming and active. But now, at the end of time, it is done. The Alpha and the Omega has come and taken us to be with him. The beginning and the end has happened. It is done, it is finished, it is complete. It will definitely happen. And then in verse 7, we have the promise. He who overcomes will inherit all this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is a promise of adoption. Adoption into the family of God, where God is our heavenly Father, where Jesus Christ is our Savior, where the Holy Spirit is our counselor and guide, and we will dwell with them forever. We'll inherit all these things. It's only a family member that inherits. And we will be God's sons and daughters. And God promises to be our God. Of course, the warning is still there in verse 8. The warning is still there of the fiery lake of burning sulfur, the second death. But if we trust, if we overcome, if we come to Jesus Christ and beg him, then we will inherit, and the promise is ours. So today, as we look at a world that is uncertain and unpredictable, we have a firm promise. It's done. It's finished. The Alpha and the Omega has completed it. It will definitely happen. And therefore, we come today trusting that all things will be made new, that God is with us, that there will no longer be any persecution, there will be no longer any separation, that everything will be made new in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. What a promise we have this day as we trust in him and as we come to him. Let's bow before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, be with us today, we pray. Help us to live in the knowledge of this hope that you have given to us. Help us, Lord, to remember the warning, but help us to come and trust in Jesus Christ so that we have the assurance that it is done, it is finished. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final praise today is taken from the Psalms, from that psalm that we read at the beginning of our service as our call to worship. God is our strength and refuge, our present help in trouble, and we therefore will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake and tremble, though swirling floods are raging, God, the Lord of hosts, is with us evermore. Amen. And now the blessing for each one of us today as we worship together. Merciful God, we offer to you today our trust in your unfailing love. May we accept the hope that you have placed in our hearts and live lives of justice, courage, and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer, God, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier, both now and forevermore. Amen.